Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening up in the stars above. We have an interesting week on tap, but aren't they all interesting right now? Seems like it anyway. So hopefully I've gone live and I can see that perhaps I have not. Just a moment here while I check this just to be sure. There I am. Okay, good. So I hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. I hope you are all well, doing what you can to stay quarantined or self-contained or whatever the word is that they're using now, and that you've found some wonderful things to do. Also, I'm hoping that you guys have been charting some of the things that we're seeing out there in the world since the move of Saturn into Aquarius. We have this very short window here where we have an opportunity to sort of chart some of the new things that are going on. And I'm going to tell you one big thing that I've noted, and that is yesterday, the governor of our state has not yet called a quarantine or a shelter in place order, which means that we're all still sort of free to move around the cabin, if you will, although it's strongly recommended that you stay home. But there's no order in place to do that. So one of the things that I've noted about Saturn moving into Aquarius is that more and more we're going to see the emphasis go toward the local or the community level, possibly the state level, because that is smaller than the federal level in our country. Now, in your countries, it might be called different things. Like, for example, Canada, I know you have provinces, so it may be more provincial or more city-oriented. And in other countries, I'm not sure how your infrastructure works out, but what you might have noticed is that there's more effort on the part of your local governments or your local communities to take care of each other during this virus. So it's interesting to see that shift, because ever before it's been reliance on the federal government and then the federal government releasing funds and so forth and so on. Now, that's still happening, don't get me wrong, but I noticed two communities yesterday took it under their own will and decided to call a shelter-in-place order for their communities. And that, to me, says volumes about where it is that we're headed in the Saturn IV in Aquarius time. So community orientation, community governments doing what they can to protect the people in their local level, that is new and also very interesting in light of everything else that's going on. And I'm sure there are other things that we could point to as well, but that's just one of the couple of things that I've noted during this period of time. Let's say good morning to Debbie Hedden. Great to see you. And Elisa Garcia, good morning. Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel, good morning. Judy, good morning. It was a very busy weekend. Just seems like they fly by, doesn't it? And then next thing you know, it's back to normal. But what is normal anymore? That's another good question to ask. What's normal? Who knows, right? So we are just living day to day. And isn't that the way it was meant to be anyway? The day to day. All right. So let's go and start what our astrology looks like for the week. We start out today with the moon in Pisces, but just before I came on air, and boy, did I feel it, the moon went into the void and will be in void, of course, until 5:59 p.m. my time, 8:59 for those of you on the East Coast and every point in between. Figure out the difference between east or west, and you'll have the time that the void, of course, moon ends, and that will be when the moon moves in to the sign of Aries, and that preps us for the new moon, which is very early tomorrow morning my time. It's very early East Coast time as well, 2:29 a.m. in the Pacific and 5:59 for those of you on the East Coast. And for those of you in Europe, it is at 9:29 a.m. So still early in our day tomorrow. So today we're going to be taking a look at not only what's going on today, but also the new moon for tomorrow. I want you all to understand what's happening between now and then, because I'm not getting up at that time in the morning to help you out, although I would if you asked me to. Then we will also take a look today at what else we can expect for the week, the coming week. We have the human design week that changes tomorrow, as well as the nodes in human design changing gates tomorrow. So along with the new moon tomorrow, it is also a highly energetic day. We also have something else interesting to look forward to this week as Venus changes the function that she's holding in her cycle, and she's moving us into wholeness. So I'm going to do some work today in figuring out what all that means for us and how to how that we can best use that energy in our personal lives. And in the Pleiadian Earth energy, we begin a whole new week today with one feeling energy, Muluk, in the Mayan calendar, and we'll talk more about what that means. So, okay, let me check and see if other people have come on in. And Allison, good morning to you. So we have a couple other people joining us. I'm going to go ahead and just launch into this. Anybody who misses the beginning, no big deal. You can always get the recording later in the morning. So today, we have the moon in a sextile, which is a 60-degree relationship. So we have the ease and flow, or at least the ability to share the gifts and the talents between several planets and the moon. And those sextiles are with Jupiter in Capricorn, Pluto in Capricorn, Mars in Capricorn, and even Saturn at 0 degrees of Aquarius. So we see the moon is in the latter degrees of Pisces, and the flow of energy between these planets is of a more beneficial or positive kind of flow. Now, there is also the possibility when we have these things working it can be also that easily things are happening very quickly. So we see every day at least something new about the coronavirus, something different about the economies of the different countries around the world. And so we could see more of that almost in a breathtaking speed because these planets are working so well together to bring things to us. So while typically a sextile is a positive relationship between the moon in this case and each one of those planets I listed, it can also mean the next step in the presentation of the things that are happening in our world. So does that make us more prone to anxiety? You betcha, right? There's the distinct possibility that as things begin to pick up and we hear more about how much that virus has penetrated into our society, that we may, you know, be triggered with anxiety or fear. Knowing this ahead of time, right? You don't have to go there. You don't have to go into that fear. You can sit with that and just be okay with whatever it is that is going on and just do your best to keep yourself safe and your family safe. Now, another interesting thing is happening today, and I think we have talked about this for maybe a couple of times, and that is about an aspect called a quintile. A quintile is if you take the 360-degree circle, i.e. your astrology chart, which is made up of 360 degrees, and the aspects, by the way, are just when we divide that circle into different strengths. For instance, if we divide the circle in half, then we get an aspect. If we divide that circle in fourths, we get a different aspect. That would be the first one in opposition. If we divide it in fourths, we get squares. If we divide it in sixths, every fraction that you can divide things into, we can divide the circle into, and we can get an aspect or a way the planets are working together in a chart. So when we divide the chart by five, quintile, the quin suggests five. So if we divide the circle in fives, then we get a 72-degree angle between planets. And that is an aspect that we call a quintile, right? And it's a fairly positive aspect, right? The aspect of the five in all numerological systems, the five is the number of change. It's the number of our needing to become more adaptable and flexible. And in some respects, it is also about freedom and how we use our freedom. And some people might be feeling like our freedoms are being clipped right now. And that would be absolutely in keeping with some of the things that are happening in the world. But Jupiter is in a quintile with Chiron. So Jupiter is a planet that I really highly suspect is involved in this pandemic, as well as the planet Eris, which I may talk about later this week. And I think we also have then the possibility with Chiron being in the quintile aspect with Jupiter, that there's some healing aspect of things going on. So Jupiter quintile Chiron is about our being able to gain perspective and to step back a bit outside of the box, right? To step back without, being so short-sighted or myopic about what's happening in our lives or in our world, to be able to step back and gain a little bit of, far-sighted vision here. This is energy that helps us solve dilemmas as well, as we can see each other's points of view better. Let's hope that helps Congress in our country right now as they're contemplating a multi-trillion dollar budget that is going to help people with unemployment benefits and money, and help corporations that are out of whack with what's happening here with the virus. And so maybe this will be an aspect that helps everyone see the other person's perspective. And in doing that, then can we learn and grow from the interactions that we can have this way, right? We've been, at least in this country, we've been so polarized, not necessarily the people. I don't think it's so much the people, but those that we've elected to represent us. So in a way, if they're polarized, then they're the representation of who we are. And that means that we're also dealing with that polarization within us. So this offers up the possibility that we can learn and grow through these experiences that we're having. And this becomes more about holistic problem solving, holistically looking at the problem and all aspects of it, from the health to the money to the social aspects to the career aspects, the professional aspects. How is this being handled? So we can, this is the first time, I think, in a while that we've really had this opportunity to think and behave in a holistic manner. So for you as an individual, take this and run with it, right? Maybe you can teach other people around you what it means to be holistic, to problem solve by not just throwing money at symptoms or throwing drugs at symptoms, but what's the bigger lesson that we can learn here about this pandemic or about our interactions with one another as a society or as a government or as a nation or as a globe, right? What can we learn from this? This is time to listen to the wisdom of the ancients, right? To the experts, to the people who have the safe, sound voices. Not the ones that are over here at the conspiracy end of everything and driving us mad with the possibility that the US created this virus and dropped it off in China and blah, 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 or whatever else, or the, the real extremists on one end or the other side of the scope, which is, this is apocalyptic and this is, retribution for all the sins of the people. But let's listen to the people that have the sound, the voice of reason, the voice of science, the voice of spirituality, where we're blending the best of everything that we know. And for me, that means experts like Greg Braden. That means experts like Bruce Lipton. And that means, looking at the Heart Math Institute and the studies that have been done both scientifically and spiritually that bring these things together and tie them into one bundle and are more holistic, again, that word, in the way that they adopt how they speak about it, how they view this in the context of our evolution. When we're listening from that point of view, then we're not listening to these people who think they know what's going on, but in reality are only just throwing out a handful of remedies at symptoms that we're going to run out of the things that we can throw at the symptoms, right? So we're going to have to start looking at this from a different point of view. Remember, Jupiter, Mars, and Pluto all sitting at the gate 61, right? Where we can become inspired when we move out of psychosis. So inspiration, that's where we're heading, right? We want that inspiration. And that inspiration comes from sometimes the most unlikely places, not from the people that claim to be experts, but by the ones who are quietly bringing us the more sane and sound information. And I don't mean to disparage anybody out there that's doing any of this work, But I do mean to say, use your sanity in looking at this information, because likely it isn't the conspiracies, and likely it isn't over here in the other side either. It's somewhere in between. And it's not about what that information is anyway. It's about, well, what are we going to do about it? Right? What are we going to do? How are we going to handle this? How are we going to show up with a new perspective, with a new point of view, with a holistic problem-solving approach? There's where the juice lies. All right, so let's take a quick look over here in Facebook and see what people are saying. Good morning, Londa. Watch Greg Braden on YouTube. He is so, I want to grow up and be just like him. Linda Marie, good morning. We are glad to see you too. Marissa, good morning to you. So questions, comments, people, please put those here so I can see them and hopefully answer anything that's going on for you. Now, today, I told you already we have the new moon tomorrow, which means today we are not in that new moon. So it is not really time to start something new. We are in what they call the balsamic phase of the moon, or the dark of the moon is sometimes what I call it as well. And it is a time for us to contemplate what comes next. What can I begin? Even within the context of our containment at the moment, our self-quarantining or our shelter in place, what can we do, right? Because there are lots of things that we can do. We could be reaching out with each other on Facebook. That's socially acceptable. We could be reaching out in other ways. We could be doing our own work in our own ways here. But it isn't the time yet to embark upon something new. I know I can feel this energy within me that's wanting to build up and move. Two reasons not to. One, we're in the void, of course, for the entire day, literally until 5:59 p.m. tonight. That takes us past the workday here, well past the workday in Europe, and well past the workday in the East Coast as well of the United States. So what can we do then right now? Well, this is a great time for consideration, for contemplation of what comes next, as we, you know, can maybe start a list of the things that we can do, or the things that we want to do, or build a plan. Those kinds of things are appropriate during this period of time. But tomorrow is going to be the time when we can actually take action and move forward, because we'll have the energy of the new moon. Now, in some ways, we do have the energy of a new beginning today, as this is the day of one feeling in the Pleiadian Earth energy calendar and astrology. So feeling energy was Muluk in the Mayan calendar, which was represented by water, often the water flowing, which represents our feeling energies, our emotional energies. And the one, which is the universal number of the day, is about new beginnings and initiating something. So today we start the new week, right? We start the new spiral of consciousness. And remember, we start the new consciousness with whatever energy that is. It is the umbrella energy for the entire 13-day week. So feeling energy. Right, so we're going to get into what that means, but let's look a little bit more at the beginning. So this is a new impulse, if you will. One of these days, let's see if I can, I can't really draw very good on the fly, but I'm going to take Mayan cosmology for a moment, because in Mayan cosmology, the one energy was a impulse energy coming from source. So they would draw, say, like a picture of the sun. The central sun is what they would call God or source energy. And that's not their words necessarily, but it would be the cosmic eye or the source of all that is. And they would draw that maybe as a circle, and they would realize that the pulse impulses come from that central sun or God or source or goddess, whatever you want to call it, comes from that in waves, right? This is a wave particle that comes in and bathes us all with the potential of the evolutionary energy for the next 13-day period. Well, it's interesting because we here in the West in particular, we really only orient ourselves in space and time, right? We know where we live, right? We know where our feet are on the ground. We even have numbers, coordinates that would tell us what that is. And then we also know where we are in time. We are at March 23rd, 2020. So it's very much a mechanical way that we orient ourselves. But the older ancient civilizations also oriented themselves to where they were in this pulse coming from God or source. And so I want us to be able to orient ourselves this way. So this is why I do this now with the one of the week, because now we have to orient ourselves around this new energy. And this new energy coming from source is about ways that we can become more united, ways that we can look at new possibilities, new thoughts, new ideas, new opportunities, right, that are coming but being pulsed to us from source. It is a point of potentiality where everything is possible and everything is possible, right, where anything and everything goes. As if we have a new tabula rasa, a white slate or blank slate. Tabula rasa in, I don't know what language means, blank slate. So we have an empty slate, and what we write upon that slate is becomes our reality. So what are we going to write on that slate, right? How are we going to deal with this energy? And where it's a great time for setting of intentions. So while we don't quite have the energy of the new moon with us yet, we do have this energy of feeling. And setting intentions. And I'm just wondering, how powerful is the new moon then actually in charting new beginnings versus our looking at this energy of the one, in this case, feeling, in beginning, right? The moon wasn't used in Mayan astrology or the Pleiadian astrology, but these days are. So I don't know about that. That's a question I'm asking myself. I'm sort of sitting with that wondering, how powerful is that new moon in terms of setting intentions? Or is it more powerful to go with the spiral of consciousness that we're seeing, this opening that we're seeing in returning to a 13-day week, where that puts us in alignment with the spiral of evolution and the spiral of consciousness, rather than putting us in a more mechanical orientation with the cycle of a moon, or a cycle of anybody to be more precise. So I don't know. I don't have that answer, but I just find it interesting. So now let's look at the feeling energy. And what does feeling energy mean? Well, we are going to experience, at least today and over the next 13 days, as that umbrella over us, the heightened emotions, right? Heightened emotions where we are being asked to step away from the dysfunctional ways that we've been engaging with emotional energy, the dysfunctional nature of our beliefs, the behaviors that we experience, and change the way that we see things, right? This is the potential of this pulse of energy. That here we have the sure sort of knowledge that if we don't do this, that we are going to increase our suffering through this period of time. If we're unwilling to change, or if we're unwilling to grow, or we're unwilling to, you know, be more responsive to what is happening within us instead of reactive to what is happening within us. Emotions signal it's time to deal with our own bleep, our own caca, and time to then own our own stuff instead of blaming it or shaming others or projecting it outward. So that's another, you know, overreaching energy that we'll experience during this 13-day period. We're learning to respond, not react, right? We're learning in response. We are responsible, and not reactive, knee-jerking, right? Or, you know, packaging everything up and throwing it out there and blaming the government or blaming the whatever for what's going on, or blaming your partner or blaming your friends or your job or whatever it is, right? Being responsible. This is our opportunity to change our inappropriate behaviors and our inappropriate thoughts, our beliefs, and our behaviors that are no longer supporting our movement forward in this particular life. So, or in this reality at this moment, what no longer serves us, out the window. What serves us, now in, right? And that's also about our feelings and emotions and how we use them, right? We're meant to be able to use our emotions as a way to check ourselves and to see where we might be out of alignment with our thinking processes or where we're out of alignment with our beliefs, not where we can take that and, you know, vomit that emotion all over everybody else. So it's a huge learning lesson for all of us, and hopefully we're up to the task. Okay, let's take a look over here. Kathy Miller, good morning, sweetie. Lots to write in my journal, feeling okay, and now have no excuse to not finish projects. One step at a time. Allison says, remember destruction before construction. Absolutely. Londa, Bellingham Council meeting this week and voting to stop alcohol and gun sales and ammunition sales, which will cause a pandemic and outcry, of course, possible retaliation. It's sad when so much fear and unknown. We don't need retaliation at this time, which is extreme. We need unity. We need holistic thinking and place our energies in our community, calming the fears instead of amplifying things. Yes, where's the sanity? We own the sanity. We do. We have it. We just haven't been exorcising it. We need to exorcise the demons, the insanity, the psychosis, and we need to bring in the sane, unifying principles that we all know, right? That we all know. So in a way, this virus has been our friend because it's heightened all of this stuff for us. The virus, I believe, has created a possibility for us to move through this kind of thing faster than we might have without it, right? We might come out of this a stronger nation, a stronger people, a stronger humanity than what we were going into this, right? As in, I think it really points out the unsustainable nature of the way things have been, right? So, okay, thanks, Londa. That was great, great, great information. And, you know, I'm not a big proponent of guns, but it is a part of our Constitution and therefore needs to be protected. That right has to be protected, as in it is a part of the Constitution laid down by our forefathers here. But I am definitely not a proponent of hoarding and all of that, which has been going on. It goes on anytime you see something big going on in the world that affects here us here in the United States. This is what we see. So that part isn't new. I think maybe the extreme nature of it is what is new and disturbing. But what can we say? We don't have to buy into that, right? We do not have to go there ourselves. Okay, so what's next here? Let me make sure no other comments. Very good. All right. So let's go on to talk about tomorrow's new moon. The moon is new at 2:29 a.m. my time. Did I just do that right? Yep. 2:29 a.m. Pacific time, 5:29 a.m. for those of you on the East Coast, 9:29 for those of you in Europe, and sorry, Australia and China and those places. I don't know what time that would be, but somewhere in between there and or after that, actually, in further east you go. So what is this new moon? This is the Aries new moon. So to me, coming so soon after the spring equinox, it is truly the time of new beginnings, the true beginning of maybe the astrological new year, where all things start over. It's like resetting the clock. Right? We reset that clock. And if we're going to reset that clock, here are some of the things that we might reset that Aries brings to us. It's always about new beginnings in Aries. So we have new beginnings, new beginnings, new beginnings, right? The Pleiadian Earth energy showing us that, Aries new moon showing us that, and Aries, the sign itself, providing the pathway to new beginnings. Everything that you can put the word self in front of just about comes under the auspices of Aries as well. Self-discovery, self-absorption, self-identity, self-love, self-centeredness, selfishness, all of these selfie words, all come under the auspices of Aries. It's the energy of the I am. So anything that has to do with the self, you as an individual, is all about Aries energy. It is the energy of independence. On one end, right, Libra, at the more negative expression of Libra energy, the exact opposite point of Aries is codependence. And I think the exact opposite energy of Aries is independence. And I think that the game is about becoming interdependent as we let go of codependency and we let go of that strong need to be independent, so much so that you become isolated from other people in what you're doing. So we have courage, we have self-absorption versus self-centeredness, we have innocence. This is the sign, you know, the tarot card, the Fool, where there's this innocence that just is moving out into the world, not even realizing there's a cliff that they may fall over because we're just moving outward. We are starting new things, right? So innocence and authenticity, another buzzword that we could use with Aries energy at this particular time. Now, as we look at some of the subcategories that are engaged, I'm using this book, New Moon Astrology, Using New Moon Power Days to Change and Revitalize Your Life by Jan Spiller. And this book is a really, it's not really that difficult of a book. I think as astrology books go, this one is really well written and I think very easy to understand. So if you want to get a book about the new moon, this might be a good one. And she also goes into the nodes as well, somewhat in this book, the North Node, and what to, if you are a, let's say, a Leo North Node, what would work for you in terms of setting intentions and manifesting your best life and your best destiny. So when we're talking about new beginnings, then this is where the energy of new trails, like what are we starting? Where are we headed to? Blazing new trails. That's the phrase I was looking for. Initiating energy, high energy. This is Mars territory, right? Mars is the ruling planet for Aries. Taking action and innovative approaches also here, right? Maybe we can start something new, right? Aries rules everything to do with the self, the physical body, the survival issues and instincts that we have to survive, and also assertiveness or aggression. That is also part of the Aries transit. In terms of innocence, what does that mean? Well, that might mean about being honest, honesty, authenticity. There's also some things that we need to watch out for, like being impulsive, right? There's straightforwardness, also energy in the new moon this time. Aries also rules self-discovery, and that might mean exploring the world, taking cautious risks at this point in your life, in our lives. Eagerness, competition also pops up here. And I'm going to be looking at that a little bit more deeply because competition is also something, I'm writing this on my calendar, it's why I'm looking down. Competition is also an energy that comes up out of Eris, the goddess of discord. And I read an excellent paper yesterday written by Stephen Forrest, who's another astrologer, comparing Eris to this pandemic. And I thought all along that maybe we hadn't really been looking very closely or well enough at Eris and her involvement in this pandemic. So I was really comforted to see that other astrologers are also picking up on that and, you know, allowing us to really breathe some life into the energy of the goddesses and to bring that out and express it in some way. So learning more about competition and how has that played into an unhealthiness in our expression of humanity? And how can we take that competition and turn it into something positive, something that breeds, you know, better kind of a spirit of camaraderie as opposed to the spirit of I beat you, right? So that's an interesting possibility coming up with Eris energy now, and now also in Aries and Eris. Aries rules independence, self-direction, self-reliance, autonomy, our ability to be self-sufficient. I think that's being tested right now too for each one of us as individuals. Can we be unique in our ability to be self-sufficient? Can we, you know, do new things with foods? You know, my one son who actually studied to be a chef used to be able to go to the cupboard. He still can. He goes to the cupboard, you know, before I've gone grocery shopping and he can just whip together all these things. It was really, really very interesting, you know, living with him after he got out of school and was a chef and could do this. It was just amazing to watch what he could do with so little. And that is something that we're all being tested with right now as store shelves become empty and we can't get toilet paper or we can't get, you know, XYZ, whatever it is. How can we still, you know, move forward with self-sufficiency, right? That's kind of, it could almost become sort of a game of surviving in the highest sense, right? Surviving in by being creative. Aries also rules our warrior nature, the warrior within each one of us. That can mean courage and leadership, or it can mean boldness or vigilance, being able to stay the course of something, strength. But it can also take us more into the ugly side of that, which is a lack of awareness of others or their needs, selfishness, vanity, impulsive action that endangers other people or alienates others, anger and impatience. These are all more of the negative aspects of that particular energy in Aries. Now, of course, every month when we look at this, we can see it also how it affects the human body, because every sign has a specific rulership over a part of the body. In Aries, it is about the eyes. It is about the head, the face, the scalp, your brain, what's going on inside. And there may be more incidences of acne, breakouts in your skin, headaches, dizziness, that it could all be symptomatic that you're out of balance with your Aries energy. So those are all the things that we could look at in ourselves and in our world with the new moon. And then let's take a look at the human design gates that this will be at. We're going to talk more about this tomorrow. The human design gate the sun and moon will be at is gate 17, which is up in the Ajna. Let me see if I can actually, hold on, two things I want to share. One, let's see if I can even do it. Okay, hold on. Got to change the screen. Is that the new moon? There's the new moon. Okay, now. Perfect. Now what you should be seeing is the chart of the new moon. Isn't it interesting how one-sided it is? Literally, the only thing over here are such minor pieces in the game. The North Node over here on this side, Selena, the white moon, Selena, the vertex, which is kind of the halfway point of the chart. And you can see that almost, you know, perfectly visible here, right? The halfway point of all of the energy in the chart, the lunar eclipse that we had back in January, and the North Node over here. So we have very few planets on one side of the chart. Everything is over here in the Eastern hemisphere of the chart. And it really concerns our sociable nature. And isn't it interesting then with the preponderance of planets over here that our social wings have sort of been cut, at least as it relates to going out and being, you know, in public together and being in restaurants or, you know, going into parties, etc. And in favor of the more virtual way of getting together. So I think that's fascinating to look at in a chart. And we see it here in this particular new moon. Now, here's the sun and the moon symbol. However, this is where they are. So let me make this just a titch bigger so I can focus in on that part of the chart. So right here, you see these four, there's two little divots together there that represents the sun and moon. And then this one here represents Chiron. And then this one represents the black moon Lilith. So all four of these bodies, including Salacia, she's in the midst there. So this is actually Salacia, the moon, and the sun all together in a conjunction tomorrow with the new moon and sitting with Chiron and the black moon Lilith. They're all sitting here between 4 and 6 degrees of Aries. That is a conjunction, and that is a powerful motivator of the new and of using more of the assertive feminine rather than the assertive masculine. So we'll have to learn to balance that energy again. It's really kind of interesting. And then, of course, we have Eris also in Aries, although not close enough to the moon to really be in an aspect that we would consider effective. But the four of these together, or five of these together, really bring to mind how it is that we are as an individual, but also how we are as a participant in this reality. And that it kind of shows me, as I look at this, how important you as an individual are in the grand scheme of things, but also how important maintaining balance to the collective is for all of us. And I think we're, you know, really learning that lesson of how out of balance we have been in terms of the collective And then that also comes home to the responsibility of each one of us to balance that within ourselves. So that's all happening right here. This would be all at the gate 17 in your human design, which is on the Ajna, which can only generate awareness of thoughts and ideas and beliefs and what you believe is true versus what you don't believe. And we'll have a great discussion, I'm sure, about the gate 17. Tomorrow also begins the time from March 24th through May 1st, where the earth will be sitting at all of the different gates of the spleen, which double, as you know, as fear energies. So the emphasis is the evolution potential for the next several weeks is going to be about how do we move through fear? How do we release ourselves from the bondage of fear? And this is the exact mirror image, if you will, of what goes on in October when the sun moves through all of those gates and really puts a lot of focus on it. Now it's the earth moving through all of those gates and really putting the focus on how do we evolve away from that, right? How do we evolve out of that fear energy, right? It's not that, you know, fear is completely bad. I mean, sometimes, you know, knowing that going down a dark alley isn't a good thing, you know, when you're getting the prickles going down the back of your neck. But the other kinds of fear that we're really experiencing, the fear of one another, the fear we're not going to have toilet paper, oh my God, and the activities, the behaviors that come up out of that, that's the part that we need to work with. So that's the opportunity we get here for the next several weeks. And also beginning here with the new moon tomorrow. I also noted that the new moon is very close to the planet Uranus. And next month, the new moon will conjunct Uranus. This month, however, the new moon is in a semi-sextile, a 30-degree relationship to Uranus, which breeds tension and a little bit of anxiety and what's going to happen and where are we going to go and being uncertain and like there's so many unknowns going on that are being fed into this new moon and adding to our anxiety. So if you recognize that anxiety, it means that your mind is on thoughts that are out of your control at the moment and that you need to move into the energy of what is in your purview. What can you affect and not what can you not affect, right? So staying in your own business, as it were. And then let's see, what was the other combination I saw here? Yes, the moon and the sun at 4 degrees here, squaring the nodal axis. So what I mean by that, I'm going to have to make this smaller for a second so we can see the entire axis. So, God, can I do this? Let's see if I can do this. I'm not usually very good at this, guys, but I'm going to try to draw a line for the nodal axis. And can I change the color? Let's see if I can do it in this color. And I'm also going to do it in a thicker line. I have a better maybe control. So here's the south node and a straight line drawn down here to the north node. Look at that. That is your nodal axis. When I say nodal axis, that is what I mean. And if I then take another line and I draw it to the position where the sun and moon will be, what you see then is, I'm going to change the color for a moment. Let's see, what color? Can I highlight this in maybe yellow? Let's see what happens. You see, nope, that's too light. Let's do it in black. Then what we can see is there is a square that develops between the nodes and the moon, right? And the sun. So the sun and moon are right down here, even though they look like they're over here, they're right here. And they are in a square aspect to the north node and the south node. These guys represent the movement of our collective along the line of destiny. We're moving toward the north node, taking everything, our past experiences, our ancestral knowledge, the knowledge of the ancients, the wisdom of the ancients in the south node. And we're using it in a way that provides something new, something more current, thinking upside down, thinking differently. And that's our line of destiny. And it's our new moon is going to square that. That means we might be challenged to rise up to new beliefs and new ways of behaving and new ways of being together. So it's a gauntlet laid down, I would say, by the sun and the moon tomorrow in how do we embrace the new? How do we embrace a new reality? How do we change the fundamental out of whack way that we have been in this world? How do we change the psychosis and become inspired to do something new? I think that's kind of a good way to look at that. All right. Questions, comments. I'm going to stop sharing. I can't stop sharing. Why not? There we go. It's just taking its time. Let me go back to Facebook here. Let's see. Rebecca, good morning. She says she loves all of Jan Spiller's books. I do too. I have Spiritual Astrology. I have this other one too, about the nodes in particular. Jan Landry says, I enjoyed that book. Colleen says, New Moon Astrology is a great book. I guess you guys have read that book. It's pretty cool. And it's very informative. But what I really like about it is it's very approachable. It's not like some, you know, some astrologers are writing books, they're talking to other astrologers. And so that's why sometimes you won't hear me recommend a lot of books, because they're written primarily to astrologers or to that level, which means that there's going to be a lot of things in it that might confuse you. But Jan Spiller tends to write to the people, right, to everyone. And so it becomes more palatable and more understandable and not as scary to read. So I love her books for that. Okay. Questions, comments. I'm just checking real quick to make sure I covered everything that I wanted to cover. 10 to 9. I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Okay. So any questions or any problems with anything I've been talking about this morning, anything that you want to bring up? In the meantime, while I'm waiting for that, I'm going to draw us a spirit animal card for us for the collective for the week, something that we can use as a guide, a totem to help us along the way, feeding us maybe some really good vibe energy as we move through what is going to be kind of an interesting week, I think. New moon, change in Venus, a change in the astrological landscape. Wow, this is the first time we have ever gotten this card. This is the first time that I've ever seen this card, actually. It is the moth spirit. Well, hold on, I got to go back to Zoom so I can see what I'm looking at. Moth spirit, card number 39, which is a 12, which is a 3, the number of creativity, and it says surrender now. I pulled it out. It was in protection. So red, look at that. That is just gorgeous. I know some people freak out in my family. They're scared of moths. I don't get it, except that they do fly around willy-nilly, and they sometimes fly right at you when you turn the light on, and that can really be disconcerting. Maybe it's the Mothman prophecies or something. I don't know, but I don't have a fear of moths. I kind of look at them as nighttime butterflies. So let's read about moth spirit and what it is bringing us this week. I love it when we pull a new card, one that we've never seen. And by the way, it said surrender now underneath it. Upside down means it was in protection. So let's read the message. Moth spirit can be intense, and honesty about your own compulsive tendencies is needed right now. It is too easy to switch from one addiction to another, distracting yourself from the discomfort of uncertainty and the thoughts and emotions that arise when you aren't single-mindedly pursuing a goal. Moth spirit calls to you to practice moderation in all things and recognize when thinking you are headed toward the light, but you're really headed into a fire that will cause burnout. Why are you so resistant to letting up? Could you be avoiding difficult emotions you need to feel and release? Now is the time to do a fearless inventory so that your addictive tendencies can be toned down and rechanneled into enthusiastic activity in moderation. You are not a machine. Listen to Moth Spirit's message that a change is needed to support your well-being. Maybe deep down, you know you have become too attached to something and someone. Let go of your need to control the outcome and allow yourself to remember the many ways you want to channel your energy to relationships, to work, to giving to others, to self-care, and to all the other pursuits you value. That's a great message for all of us, I think, don't you? Moth spirit. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Okay. All right. One last check back here in Facebook to see how people are doing. Allison, I heard the nodes are in the same position they were at 9/11. Any truth to it? If so, what does that mean? Well, don't you think it's interesting, Allison, that I'm not the only one that's compared the feeling of what's going on in our world or in our country right now to what happened at 9/11? So I'm not sure if the nodes were there at that point in time. So that would have been only, I bet it was, because the nodes are 18 and a half year cycles. And so the nodes were likely running through Cancer Capricorn at that point in time too. So because that would be, that sounds right. But it doesn't mean that this is the same thing, but isn't it interesting, right? Some of our rights are being kind of curbed right now. And that happened after 9/11. The fallout was that we became more protectionist. We became more isolated. We became that, and that's owing to that Cancer, the Cancer Sun in our astrology chart as a nation. And other people I've heard have also called this like similar to 9/11. And we were talking about that the other day, and it's not the same, but the feeling of surreality around this is the same that I felt anyway at that point in time. So different circumstances, but very similar energy and very similar outcome through the people, right? The same time 9/11 happened, people went to the gun stores and started buying guns and ammo and doing some of the hoarding stuff and fear-based thinking. And here we are again in a similar situation, not because of a terror attack, but this is creating terror, right? Terror. People are scared to death of this. And the military was all over New Jersey and New York, like it is in areas of New York now, and will be in the state of Washington. I guess Washington and New York and California are all being dispatched, or the National Guard is being called up in all three states. I don't know what that's going to mean here. It'll be interesting to see. But I'm not going to let it take me into fear, but those are similar circumstances as well. It does. It heightens the fear, Allison, indeed. And that doesn't mean that we have to go into that fear, right? And we don't have to allow our rights to be trampled. We just need to do what we know is right. You know, the self-distancing and all of that, it should be undertaken by each of us as a choice, but being made out of an overabundance of caution, right? My two cents. We're grown-ups here. Be good examples to one another, right, of what we need to do. Jan says, yes, the North Node was at 3 degrees of Cancer on September 11th, 2001, and it's at 3 degrees Cancer right now, right? Two, three, same degree. That's eerie, actually, but there we go, right? Doesn't mean that, you know, we didn't die after 9/11, right? We just became a different nation. No doubt this will also make us a different nation, but this is more global in scope than just the U.S., right? We're feeling it in the U.S., but this is much more global than 9/11 was. Not that other countries didn't feel for us or pour their, you know, generosity out to people in the United States, but they weren't as affected as we are. Over the course of time, they have become, with changes to security at airports and that type of thing. This feels a little bit more pointed, right? Pointed and personal, and again, fighting an invisible enemy, right? We don't see the virus. You know, you don't see that you might be picking it up from a surface that you've just touched. So it is a little scarier, because I think we could all individually be touched, where in 9/11, we were more, it was further away from us, I guess, is how we were distanced from it. But anyway, interesting. Thank you for looking that up, Jan. Thank you, Allison, for bringing up that question. Allison says, actually, for me, this has been a blessing. No choice but to evaluate. I love it. Asa, good morning. Colleen says the terrorists walked among us, well, me, like this virus, and you had no idea they were your neighbors, like the virus. Interesting combination there too, right? Yeah. So times seem to repeat themselves, right? Cycles repeat themselves in different ways for sure, but they do repeat themselves. And what we do when they repeat themselves is another opportunity for us to evolve. That's the opportunity. So we can choose to be in the fear and hang back and, you know, be upset and, you know, be in anxiety and add to that fear field on the planet. Or we can choose to be open and do what we know to be right, and, you know, love and care and be generous with one another. That's the way that things are meant to be, right? Okay. Any other questions, comments? Rebecca, interesting, Jan. I find, Jan, I'm glad you found that information. I would have gone looking for it after after our talk this morning, but there we have it. Okay, guys, this is Monday. I will be on air tomorrow. On Wednesday, I will also be on Australian radio with Angel Heart Radio out of Sydney, Melbourne, Australia, with Annette McCoy. And now, remember, the radio, it's not broadcast through Blog Talk anymore. It's broadcast like we are here, so she and I can be face-to-face on Zoom. So it made it a lot of fun last month to be able to do that. So that'll happen on Wednesday at, I believe this time it will be 4 p.m. Pacific time, because we've moved ahead an hour and I don't think that they've moved back yet. So our timing might be 4 o'clock. I'll check that for sure and get that to you tomorrow. All right, I'll take care. Have a wonderful day. I will see you tomorrow morning. Actually, here's one last comment I want to read. Jan Landry, I have a book on the degrees of the zodiac. 3 degrees of Cancer says, sight, loneliness, usually serious and prefers to associate with older people, violence, pride, overconfidence, and shameless, associated with the 9th rib. That's, I don't know what that book is. I have a book as well called the... Oh, Lordy. Oh, he's probably sitting here because I was looking at him earlier. The 360 Degrees of the Zodiac. It's a Dane Ruggiar book. An astrological mandala. Hold on, I got to move my light out of the way. Here it is. This book that also goes through the 360 degrees of the this. Let's see what 3 Cancer. We would read it as 4 Cancer. And interesting to note that the nodes change tomorrow in human design into the 2 other gates of love, the gate of the love of humanity and the gate of the love of the self. And there's a little bit of extremism that comes in through those gates in the more negative aspects of them. So I find that interesting as well. So 4 Cancer in the Dane Ruggiar book is a cat arguing with a mouse. An attempt at self-justification. We are still involved in the results of an act which brought about a radical reorientation of one's life. The drives of the biopsychic organism are still not easily conquered. A multitude of lesser decisions inevitably follows the big and grand gestures of repudiation and realignment. The desires of the body still drown the voice of the, quote, new man. One argues with oneself, hoping to convince oneself that the old impulses are still legitimate. At this 4th stage of the 5-fold sequence, hesitancy and conflicting motives are still inevitable. The mind is very clever at not facing the consequences which follow from the desires or even from restlessness. Attempts at rationalization are experienced and should be understood. So, interesting. A cat arguing with a mouse. I'll leave you with that as a contemplation for the day. All right, everyone. Take care. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye for now.